the pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back. So great to have you here. And let's continue with Ross Dellinger from Yahoo, looking at this weekend, Rivalry Week, as what an amazing time it has been. Ross, good to see you, and so much to talk with you about, but let's start with the obvious, the conversation about the CFP and really what this weekend means. Since you were there at the vanguard of the Harbaugh story, I feel you're a pretty good person to talk to.
Yeah, it's pretty wild weekend, Paul. I don't know that we've had, in the CFP era, had nine teams alive going into the last weekend of the regular season, and that's what we have right now. And all of them play their chief rival. You know, most of them an in-state rival. So there's a lot of rivals that could knock off CFP contenders. You know, Oregon plays Oregon State, Washington State. Texas Tech, of course. There's two in the SEC: Alabama, Auburn, Georgia Tech, and then you got Florida hosting Florida State, and of course the big one, as you mentioned, right, Michigan, Ohio State, and Ann Arbor, where it's going to be like 40 degrees and overcast, so a perfect Midwest day for that game.
And let's start there, Ross, because I mean, there's no getting around it. I mean, we in the South like to think about our rivalry games, but it's hard to compete with that game in recent years. I mean, it has owned the sport, has it not?
It is. It's been pretty incredible. I've actually never covered that game, but a couple of my colleagues who have, Pat Forty and Dan Wetzel, say that they kind of anticipate that this is going to be, at least in the modern era, you know, the most highly kind of anticipated, charged atmosphere for that game. And you got to believe so, right? There's all this sign stealing stuff going on. There's all that scandal, which I think a good amount of Michigan fans have pointed the finger at their rival for over that scheme and the situation. But then you have everything else. Which is enough, really. And it's the history of that rivalry and the nastiness between those two states, Michigan and Ohio. And it's the situation with the CFP, right? It's two teams that are undefeated, and the winner, you know, if they beat Iowa in the championship game, and they probably only need to score about, I don't know, 14 points to beat Iowa. The winner of this game, you would think, is in the championship, and the loser probably is out. This is not like last year, right, where Ohio State could squeeze in maybe in some way. This is a loaded field. And so I would be shocked, I think, if the loser of this game ends up somehow squeaking into the CFP. It doesn't feel like that kind of year.
Talking to Ross Dellinger. Ross, between now and the CFP, so many things happen. But and part of the reason there's all the people that matter the most in this sport start gathering together at the Hall of Fame, at various events as we work our way through December. You cover so much off the field, and I'm particularly interested in where you're watching and what you're looking at in terms of where the storylines are going to be as we turn the calendar here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's hard to keep up off the field of what's going on right now in college athletics. And I'm sure you're referencing to our story yesterday about not just a Power Five split, which has kind of been something that has been talked about for some time. You know, I think it's kind of an inevitability that a group of programs are very unlike everything else in the NCAA. A group of 50 to 70 to maybe 100 programs, right, are very different. If you listen to Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, it's about 50 to 70 programs are very different from all the others and should be treated differently and governed a different way. So basically, you know, our story yesterday kind of outlined the next steps to that. You know, again, I don't think it's in breaking news that there's going to be some split, but I think we've taken the next step there in a split where a group of programs are going to be governed a different way. And it, Paul, it doesn't mean that these programs still can't compete with all the other NCAA schools. In fact, I think they're still going to, but they kind of break off and are governed their own way differently, and they share revenue with athletes. And I think we've taken the next step there, or the first step, maybe the initial step in getting there, which is models being circulated and socialized among very high ranking college athletic officials. And that's what we kind of learned earlier this week about some of this modeling for this new governance kind of model, you know, or new governance kind of split, the great split, as they say. And you're right, over the next probably 6 months, 8 months, there's going to be a lot, as there often are in the off season. It starts out in Las Vegas with the National Football Foundation dinner. A lot of folks in college athletics come together for that, and the Sports Business Journal has a summit kind of afterward, a type of conference where commissioners gather. So that's a gathering point where you're going to have really high level athletic administrators talking to one another, meeting in person. And then you'll have, Paul, the national championship game, another gather point, right? CFP officials will spend time there, probably making some pretty big decisions there, I think, around the championship game for the future of the playoff. And then you have the NCAA convention that same week, actually, a few days later. So there's going to be a lot of movement. We are in a transformative time of college athletics, and we're in the next 6 to 8 months, we are going to probably see modeling of some kind of transformation of governance and athlete compensation going forward. And all of this is accelerating, Paul, because of the lawsuits right against the NCAA. The antitrust lawsuits at the NCAA continues to lose and will probably lose going forward, which is why they feel the need to change.
I hate to chisel it down to like this is the dummies guy, but it really is. We are all dummies, and you follow this stuff every day. So in terms of change, other than what you have laid out here, what should we be keeping our eyes on? Which moment, which case, which event could tip the balance?
Yeah, well, it's this House case, right? It's a House versus NCAA, a judge recently made a ruling granting class action on that suit. And, you know, I think most experts would say the NCAA, like many of us other antitrust cases, will not win that case, right? And there's talks of a settlement, right, going down and maybe settling. And for your listeners and your viewers, this case all involves two things. It involves NIL, retroactive NIL. Players are asking for retroactive NIL for the last 4 years, because at that point it was, you know, illegal before 2021. So previous four, I think it's the previous 4 years, basically. So it's retroactive, lost NIL, they call it, and then lost broadcasting revenue. The suit also claims that the NCAA has its rules prohibiting schools to share revenue also is an antitrust violation, along with the past NIL rules prohibiting NIL. So there's that; those two combined, Paul, could be more than $3 billion that it could cost the NCAA in Power Five conferences. So you can imagine there are schools that, in the NCAA, which is made up of 97 conferences, right, thousands of schools, you can imagine that most of those schools cannot afford to chip in for a $3 billion or even $1 billion. There's maybe a settlement or something, $1 billion price tag. So the schools that are chipping in, which are the richest schools, right, the top 50, top 70, I think, and we have it in our story yesterday, you can find it on Yahoo Sports, is a Big Ten athletic director, Damon Evans, saying, look, if we at the Power Five level are going to be the ones paying for the House case, the settlement, or a loss, why should we share revenue with you? So there's a dividing line happening, and it's all started around this case, and it's accelerating.
You know, as you said, $3 billion, I thought of the $75 million to buy off Jimbo Fisher, and it really seemed like chump change, didn't it?
Yeah. How about that, Paul? It took 1 week, for the Jimbo Fisher buyout figure to appear in a new lawsuit against the NCAA.
Amazing. Ross Dellinger, thanks so much. Great to see you. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Thanksgiving as we head to the break. Your phone calls and Coach Drink a little bit later in the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Appreciate all of you being here on the Wednesday of Thanksgiving, and Elliot is up next.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to talk about the Iron Bowl, and I think Alabama has got this. I got them on 11 points, and I'm completely comfortable with that. I think that with the advent of the 12-team playoff, that team up north is no longer Ohio State's rival. I think it's Alabama. I think it's the SEC, hence my Twitter name. But my question for you is, aside from Alabama looking really good this year with the long pass and the run by Jalen Milroe, what do you think about this hire of Hugh Freeze? Because I think it's going to be below 30 in that spread. It's going to be Freeze in there, and I think that Freeze was a bad hire. But that might be just me. You tell me what you think.
Well, I've said many times I thought it was a really good decision by Auburn. It's a bumpy start, but you expected that. I felt before the season that Hugh Freeze needed to get to a bowl game, and he's done that. Anything else? And everything else is gravy. We'll talk to Coach Freeze Friday as we begin our weekend coverage from the Plains. Mac is up next in Auburn. Hello, Mac.
How you doing, Paul?
Very well, sir. How are you?
Good, good. I just thought about y'all last night. I went to the ball game and thought about y'all last night. I hadn't talked to you in a while. And I called to do the chaplain thing and say, Happy Thanksgiving to you and your staff, and thank you for bringing all the joy you do, and I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Bye. See you later.
You have a great holiday, Mac. Thanks so much for calling. Be well. How about Terry in Tampa? Hey, Terry, go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
All these great calls you're getting from Brad to Mr. Denninger, all I really wanted was just a couple of quick ones. What do you got, stuffing or dressing?
I like stuffing because it's drier. My mother made it when I was a kid, so it's one of those things you just adhere to. I eat dressing, but and I will tell you, I don't know the difference between. I think stuffing goes in the turkey. Dressing is a dish. Is that correct?
I believe you're right. Yes.
So it's one of the. I mean, I have no idea why the 6-year-old in me married stuffing versus dressing.
Well, if I may take another question, the Alabama, I've never been an Alabama fan, never been a Nick Saban fan, never been a LeBron James fan, never been a Tiger Woods fan. But at some point, you have to respect them, you know, and I've started to respect Mr. Saban and Alabama. They're sitting at 8 now. I wouldn't be surprised if they were sitting at 1 after everything's done.
Well, I think they're in a position to do that. And, you know, aside from some of the most obvious things about his record and his resume and his experience, he has a task of winning 2 more games. And then I think he's there. I think all this conversation, and I've had it with many, is if Alabama beats Georgia, are they in? Of course they're in. I mean, nobody yeah. should be in more than Alabama.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you, Mr. Feinbaum. You. And like the previous caller said, thanks for everything you do and have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. I mean, I was on with Mad Dog Russo earlier today with Steven. And I mean, he said, who's their best win? And I said, it will be Georgia. It will be the number one team in the country. Nobody can top that. Ohio State beating Michigan is pretty close. It's on the road, the number 3 team in the country. But they'll be in. There's no debate. But Alabama has a loss, so they have to overcome a couple of things. But, you know, bringing back Texas from September 9th, patently absurd. Bob is in Fort Worth. Hello, Bob. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You just hit on my subject, my call. Now, Paul, I understand you got a fan base you got to play to, and I understand that completely. But I got a question for you. I want to run a scenario by you, and you explain to me your thinking on this. You got three Power Five schools undefeated. Say Alabama goes in and beats Georgia. Texas wins the Big 12. I think, and I would rather see New Mexico State in the playoffs than Texas. But you explain to me how in the world the SEC is not sitting at home watching the playoffs if Texas wins the Big 12 and Alabama beats Georgia.
Yeah, I'll tell you how. Explain to me that question, Bob, because what we have to do is quit this groupthink of automatic reaction of, oh, well, they want a Power Five conference. You can't keep them out. I heard that all day today in my many conversations. I don't care about all that. By the way, I don't care how many top 25 wins you have. I mean, that's a bunch of garbage. When you have teams, I mean, I don't mean to beat up on Tennessee, but the fact that Tennessee with two straight blowouts of 28 points in a row finishes at 21, you know what that tells me? That tells me that at least somebody on that committee is wise enough to look at the SEC and go, I'm not really paying much attention to that. Compare that to, you know, beating Wake Forest and Duke and Boston College and Syracuse and Pittsburgh. You know, Florida State has good wins. They beat LSU when we thought LSU was really good. They won at Clemson, which is a good win. But
what happens if they go in and thump Florida soundly? Well, they go up there and beat.
Well, okay, so you beat a seven loss team. Is that impressive?
No, but what if they got to go play whoever they play for the.
Yeah, they'll play Louisville, and you know, first of all, let's make sure Louisville gets by Kentucky first.
Well, you both know that's going to happen.
No, I'm not. I mean, Mark Stoops. You can't ever rule him out in the game, can you?
No, but I just don't understand. You know,
why. I'll finish my thought here and get out of your way and let you finish. I'm not hung up on your quality of wins. I'm hung up on who are the four best teams in the country. And if we advance this thing 12 days and Alabama's sitting there with a win over Georgia, are you telling me they're not one of the four best teams in the country? I mean, really?
They didn't beat Texas, Paul.
Tennessee in the second half. They destroyed LSU in the second half. They will have beaten Georgia in this scenario. And you're going to leave them home? Please.
And Texas beat them at home.
I don't care. That was a long time ago.
But you can't act like it didn't happen, Paul.
Well, I am officially going to act like it never happened. I'm kidding you, okay? But I'm trying to say what I want from that committee, I want some guts. I don't want to play game. Now, we won't get that, by the way, because I know how these guys work. But that's what I want. I want somebody who's going to say, clean all that stuff off my desk. Let's look at the film, and you tell me that Alabama right now isn't one of the best teams in the country.
Well, okay. But really, I don't think it's going to matter one way or another. I think Alabama's got two chances of beating Georgia, slim and none.
Well, you
may slim
be right,
left
I mean,
on the
we
news
just
stage.
This conversation, though, and hey, thank you for the call. I don't mean to. I know people. I know what you're saying. Oh, there's Paul Feinbaum. He's living in Nick Saban's guest house again, and you know, Miss Terry's bringing him his Thanksgiving meal. That's not true. I'm just being realistic. I think beating Georgia matters. I mean, I'll ask the audience a question. Let's assume Georgia beats Georgia Tech, which is not an assumption, it's a fact. Anybody want to guess when Georgia's last regular season loss was? We're talking regular season. You want to go back? What is it? Late October or is it November? I can't remember. Okay, November of 2020. Remember? Everybody, the coaches were wearing masks. There were 10,000 people in the stands. That's the last time they lost during the regular season. And that Florida team went to the SEC championship game. They didn't lose in 21, regular season. They didn't lose in 22, regular season. And they didn't lose in 23, regular season. And you're going to tell me that that's not a good win? That because what something Texas did in early September when Alabama was in chaos, that should count more than a win on December 2nd that derailed one of the great runs in college football history? I mean, we're not, we're talking about a team that has won what? I just saw this somewhere here. 44 of their last 45 games. That's only the best in SEC. That's only the best run in SEC history. But let's just say that doesn't matter because Texas has a quality win against Alabama and Oregon beat Washington and Florida State beat Wake Forest. Please. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Vance is up next here. Good afternoon, Vance. Vance, you there?
And your wife? I've been listening all week. Not everybody can listen as much as other people. You know, they got jobs and such. I understand that. But
sure.
Do you think it's just a human trait to call up and wait their turn to get on the Paul Feinbaum show, ask a question that they've been pondering, and then before you even give a chance to answer it, they're arguing with you and answering their own question?
Vance, I've always said this. I believe, now I realize I know that I can see the name of the show behind me, so I don't want to act like I'm completely ignorant. But I don't think anyone that calls on the show has ever cared what I think.
I mean, I just, you know, I'm yelling at the TV, which tells you how insane I am. I'm like, let the man answer the damn question. I mean, it's just an opinionated show. I still believe that things are going to shake out to most everybody's approval before this whole deal's over. I just do. If it doesn't, guess what? I'm wrong. It ain't going to cost me any money. But I want to ask you another question. And it could sound like I'm denigrating somebody, by no means am I. Isn't it more normal for an Alabama team to do what they're doing now throughout Nick Saban's tenure at Alabama, as fantastic as it is? Isn't this more normal than Sandy's only had two undefeated seasons that entire time? And I'm very proud of this team, by the way, but don't you think this is more the norm in Saban's career?
Well, it is. I mean, he's had an incredible career, but he's had very few undefeated. That is a fact.
So, anyway, I'll end with this. I think from what I've seen, I will be shocked if Alabama can beat Georgia. Georgia has simply gotten stronger and stronger as the season goes, and I don't know that I've ever seen that many weapons. And if they can get by Alabama, which personally I hope Alabama wins, but if they get by them, I kind of feel sorry for the rest of the field because I don't think they can play with them. That's just one man's opinion, Paul. What do you think?
I'll feel better after Saturday night, and I hold my breath because I don't want to see the same team we saw last week show up in Atlanta. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Brad next in Macon. Hey, Brad.
Mr. Paul, what's up, brother?
Hey there.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and your staff, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Hey, when Bash calls, he takes the whole he deflates the whole show, dude. You can tell when he calls. It's just like a cloud comes over, starts raining.
He is consumed with everything that he has previously said, and no one else cares.
Well, Paul, I'm gonna lighten things up for you today. I've been practicing. I'm gonna drop the mic on Dwayne. You ready for this, Paul?
Go for it.
Okay, Dwayne. You called us turkeys over here at Georgia, but we're jive turkeys, brother. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to jive. We're going to dive. We're going to thrive. We're going to proscribe a butt whooping that's going to make all the Bama fans cry. Go Dogs. Have a good one, Paul.
That will completely put an end to him. Matt. Up next.
Hey, brother. How you doing, Paul Feinbaum? Look, I want to tell you something that I need to tell you. And look, I'm sorry for cussing on the show last time, but I wasn't in a good place, man. I was broken. I wanted to give up on myself. I didn't care if I was going to, if I went to a group home. And the reason why is I found out the government's not going to let me have my Social Security money. The test they're doing on my short-term memory was determined if I could live my own, handle money, or take care of myself and determine, no, that I have to live with a family member the rest of my life. And me and my brother and my mom got into it real bad. They said, well, your sister offered you a trailer to live on her farm. I said, I don't give a crap. She didn't care about me or my dreams. And it was very stressful. I broke down and cried with my friend. I told her I don't know what to do anymore. I feel like giving up. And I told Mrs., I'm better today, man. I'm trying to think positive, have my bad days. And I wanted you to know I'm not trying to ignore you, and I'm not mad at you, Paul. I know you tried to get the money for me. Brother, I'm never going to be mad at you guys. You're all like family to me. You, Mitch, Trey, Augie, Legend, and even William. I'm not ever going to be mad at you, man. I just need time to think. I need a space for what am I going to do, man. And I love you guys a whole lot. And I hope Aggies get Mike Elko, because Jimbo Fisher in the end cannot do anything with the program, cannot utilize the talent. And I hope we beat those Tigers. I love you guys, man. Peace,
Matt,
brother.
We're all thinking of you, praying, and hoping. You be well. You take care of yourself, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Coach Strink joining us next hour. Let us check in with Jeff, who is up next. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, sir. How are you? Happy holidays.
Thank you very much.
I have a comment and then a quick question, maybe a hypothetical, and then I'll hang up. First off, the comment is that if Alabama was to beat Georgia, I believe they both should be in. I realize we'd probably have to call up the National Guard to quell the protests in Oregon, Texas, but that being the case, I think the strength of schedules and certainly the run that Georgia has had certainly will make a difference. My hypothetical is, assuming that Michigan wins out and goes to the championship, whoever they play is automatically probably going to end up being the champion regardless, because they will have to vacate all their wins if this cheating scandal is proven to be true. I'll let you comment, and thanks for listening. And I love your show. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. You're probably right, but the only thing that won't matter is it could be 3 or 4 years down the road. It will be appealed, and it will have no bearing. I've seen this movie before. You win the game, and then 2 years later, you find out that you have to vacate it. It doesn't change anybody's perception. It matters if you're keeping an official scorebook. Landon is in Georgia. Good afternoon. Hey, Landon.
Hey.
Good afternoon. You're on the air. Thanks, Landon. Have a good weekend. John is up next in St. Louis.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Okay, John.
Hey, Paul. I'm going to be nice today for once, and I don't have anything bad to say, and I'm not going to yell. But I just wanted to wish you and the boys there a happy holiday. And, you know, the other a couple weeks ago or so, you let one of the young men come up on stage with you there with a, I think it was a chair, and he was going to knock Larry in the head or something. So I think during this holiday season, you know, over the next few days or a few weeks, you ought to kind of introduce us to the fellows that answer the phones and do all the work behind the scenes. It's kind of nice to get, you know, attach a name to a face. So anyway, that's all I have
today.
That's
a good idea. We'll see if we can.
And also, I know you have drink on later, so, you know, tell him, hey.
Are you behind drink today or against him?
Yeah, I'm the biggest fair weather fan in the world, Paul.
you were against drink before you were for him. Is that correct?
That's true, and I you know, it depends, I guess, too, if I've been drinking. So that's part of the problem. So okay.
It's a holiday. What's your favorite drink? I may send you some for the holidays.
Well, I like Budweiser, and then also I sometimes like to drink bourbon. So when I get the combination going, it can be lethal, Paul.
I guess being in St. Louis, Budweiser is a good brand.
It's a very good brand. I used to work for the Budweiser company for a long time. So
when I was a kid, John, my dad took me through the brewery there. We went to
yeah.
St. Louis for the Cardinals, and I think they yep. had at the time, I believe they had like a fountain machine where you could sample it.
Yeah, we used to be able to drink at work too. It was crazy, wasn't it? I worked in an office area, and they used to have refrigerators with beer in it.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
Happy
you,
holiday.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a really good idea, John, if you like to drink. Can you imagine? Do we not have that here? You never know sometimes by talking to people. Squarehead is next.
Hey, Paul. I've been listening since about 2001 when you guys came on the Big Wax in Gadsden. And I was listening the other day, and there was some guy defending Florida State why they should be in the top four, and you got on him and started grilling him, deservedly so. And my wife said, he's kind of mean. Why do you listen to him? And I said, if you think that's mean, you should listen back when Neil Vickers was on the show.
Oh,
he grilled
goodness.
Him regularly.
No, and I'm not bragging about this, but the version of me you get today is fairly tame.
And another thing is, back in that day, you could ask people, you listen to Paul Feinbaum? And say, I hate that guy. And but quietly in their offices or in the car, whatever, they'd have the Feinbaum show on. But you never hear that today around here. So people, you know, they say, yeah, listen to Feinbaum. It's cool. Cool show. So anyway, been listening a long time. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you very, very much. That means a great deal. You be well. And
have a good day, sir.
I keep threatening one day to have Vickers join us. Maybe as we get closer to the holidays, we'll get Vickers on here. Jace is up next in Augusta. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
I just wanted to bring up a couple things. I know the pundits are picking, you know, Alabama to beat Georgia. Just a couple of stats. Georgia has 100 more total yards offense, and we give up less yards on defense than Alabama, and about 5.5 points less points on defense. So I just wanted to bring that up. And on a serious note, you know, I listen to Matt, and I lost a little brother to suicide 35 years ago. If y'all want to give my number to Matt, and he needs to talk to somebody, tell him he can call me.
Hey, Jace, I tell you what, guys, can we take Jace off the air? I think that would be very helpful. Okay, we'll do that right now. Thank you for offering that, Jace. And it's amazing what somebody that's been there could do to help someone else. Dr. Bulldog is up next in L.A. Hello, doctor.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother. I just about had it with Alabama fans calling in, talking smack about my team, and the Georgia fans saying nasty words and things. It's going to be a great contest, but Georgia's going to win the game. I guarantee it. How about that? I'm putting the Joe Namath, who used to play for Alabama under Bear Bryant, I'm putting the guarantee out there. Oh, Dr. Bulldog. And for my boy Jimmy in Tuscaloosa, you better beware, brother, because I've been waiting all year to talk smack to you. And it's one of those things where you ain't gonna recover once I get done with you, man. Yeah, I'm gonna buy you a beer, but you're gonna be crying at the same time. All you Alabama fans, you asked for it, now you got it. You know, I don't care about Texas early year. I supported you. You know, I wanted to see this game. You know, if you go back and listen to the tapes back in early September, Dr. Bulldog was fit for you, Bama fans, so I could have this moment to myself. And when we kicked that ass, you'll remember, you'll say, Dr. Bulldog, yes, right. You were right, man. Yay. I'm saying it's going to be 31-17 Georgia. I know it's 2 weeks from now. You better worry about Auburn, you know, because we're going to handle Georgia Tech and break that record that Alabama has 28 wins in a row twice. Much props to the history and tradition, but I've had enough. I tried to hold back, give you respect, but now when I see people disrespecting Georgia fans and the school and the players and the team after what we've accomplished this year, you know, especially coming off that big road win in front of 106,000 people, you know, you saw it, Paul, Dolly Parton, Peyton Manning, all that. Blasted Tennessee a week after blasting Ole Miss. And we're going to blast Alabama 2 weeks from now, you know. And that's all I got, brother. Take care.
Hey, Doc you out. Have a great holiday, Dr. Bulldog. We'll talk to the great Thaddeus Bullard later on. Coach Strink joining us in just a couple of minutes. We cannot wait to say hello to what is likely the SEC Coach of the Year and getting a lot of consideration for awards beyond that. Right after this break, we'll come back. Coach Strink in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.